cold, kind of windy day, so we will trudge forward. Let's see. It's, I don't even know what day it is, but I was in Santa Barbara for 3 days, and now I'm back home for a while, so get to catch up a little bit. I forgot my pack with the, there's a guy in a car. It's amazing, these people that sit or sleep in their car. I don't know. It's just, I don't know, different. So I want to get an air horn when I walk by and just give them a little air horn in their window. That wouldn't be nice. So anyway, lots of little trips. So not bad, it's just different. So went to Colton about a week or so ago, trained a real nice lady, and went to Santa Barbara, trained some nice folks, and you know, it's the good days, you want to really write them down. Because I think a lot of times we focus on the bad days and the bad times. And hopefully we at least remember the good times, good days. And whether it's health or trouble, we need to write it down in our little book. Whatever. Today was a good day. So I try to always remember that kind of stuff. And so but anyway, so it's a bit chilly. Some of my smoking friends smoking. Gotta get their cancer in. Sorry to be cold, but that's pretty much where it ends up. So there you go, already in trouble. All right, so I think I want to talk about something today. Is, let's see, there's been a lot of people that I've interacted with, and people don't like them for whatever reason. And, you know, there's a person that I know that works with the person that a business situation went sour. And so they end up working at the same company. And it was like a little, anyway, side business. Had nothing to do with where they're working now, but it was almost like this person walked in and there's like a new hire board, and they saw their name there. This person wanted to run up to HR and say, no, please don't hire them. And they did. And there's one thing that I know is that if there's a lesson to be learned, that person, that situation won't go away until you learn it. And if it does go away, it'll come back. So whether it's to learn patience or how to get along or something, those lessons seem to be very cyclical in nature, because I just don't think that this life that we're living is just to collect money or get married, have a large family. I think those can be part of it, but I think that one of the big parts of life is how are you growing as a person? What are you learning? What are you doing? And you know, some people use it a lot of different ways, but and sometimes learning doesn't mean a degree. Sometimes learning is stopping doing something that you were doing, or starting to do something that you should. And those, they don't teach in school normally. So, but it's interesting to kind of really think about this planet in which we live in. And whether you're a Christian or not, you would agree that there's other humans on this planet. So we have a community, really, whether we want to or not. And even if we choose to live in a hut somewhere or a cabin way up in the mountain somewhere, some point we're going to need some kind of help for something. So we're going to need to interact somehow. So that type of interaction is part of this life. And so, you know, what's interesting is people that come from the same family, they don't get along, and they got pretty much the same DNA and genes and stuff. I mean, so there's something within human nature to kind of fight this war against being better than somebody else, or jockeying for position. You know, and again, you know, those people that whether you believe in the Bible or not, it's really throughout mankind's history, is there's this yearning to rule, wanting to govern, wanting to take over, be better than somebody else. You know, whether it's Jacob and Esau or whoever, it's there's this kind of battle that goes on, whether it's to get best wife or best husband or more money or something. There's this constant battle that people go through, and it's interesting. I'm putting together a framework for a story that I'll talk more about later, but you know, one of the central themes is this female insecurity. And I think men are insecure too, but I don't know that guys to the same extent care how other guys think about them. Maybe they think about what women think about them, but there's this female, they hate each other. I mean, some of the comments, and it's wild. So when you get that type of situation going on where women will catfight each other in this very secretive type of, to the face they say one thing, behind their back they say something else. It is a very interesting situation. Women are communal creatures. They like to go to coffee together. Guys do, but not as much as women. I don't know. That's my opinion. So women go to the bathroom in groups. They go out to the clubs in groups. They don't go by themselves normally. Guys don't say, "Hey, Bob, let's go to the bathroom. Hey, Joe, you want to go too?" That just doesn't happen. I don't know. I don't know what the big joy is going to the bathroom in a group. I've been to the bathroom. I don't know that I want to share that experience. But women do. I don't know why. So there's this jockeying for attention that women fall into and participate in. They look better. I want to dress better. I'm cuter. I'm thinner. I'm this. I'm that. And guys, we don't have makeup, pretty much. High heel shoes, pretty much. And all these clothes, you know. So guys just pretty much roll the dice and hope for the best. But people gravitate to what they agree on, and but not everybody does. And so let's agree on cigarettes. So but people will get hurt, disappointed, upset, mad, and hold on to it for years about all kinds of things. You know, and it's funny, I would imagine, I've never heard this, but I'd like to sit down with the writers of like a Three's Company and say, miscommunication. Let's talk about that. And I'll bet you that they probably did a bit of study psychologically about how far people will take believing something without knowing the whole facts, and also people who hold things in for years about things that they're upset about, but they don't know the whole story. So I think it's interesting. I have a friend who, one of the family members in his family, took ill and was staying with another family member who he hadn't talked to for a long time, and so he got in touch with this person to talk to the ill family member. And so there's a couple of messages left on the phone, and so then the person's wife called and said, hello, the husband wants to talk to you. So person is talking to him, and the person who family member staying with says, now you know why I don't want to see you, right? And the person goes, no. Well, he says, you never cross a family, and therefore I want to know when you're coming by to visit so I won't be here. And I don't want your wife here in my house. And so the person apologized a couple of times, heartfelt, because he did not know why there was upset. And the person on the other end of the phone said, well, that's okay, but I don't want to see you. So, for years, this person had been holding this anger and resentment, and the other person had no clue, had no idea, couldn't even remember why that any situation would happen, and apologize on the phone. So, you know, with things like email and Twitter and just message board posts, you don't know what the intent is. You don't know where they're coming from. And people get so upset by the letters that they read, and they don't know. Emoticons can work, obviously, a little smiling, maybe a wink or something, kind of tell that you or somebody else can tell you that they're kidding or joking. But I think overall, me included, from time to time, we need to get thick skin and understand that not everyone is going to like us or agree with us. And you know, obviously, you need to have a short list. And if you feel you've hurt somebody's feelings, do your best to say you're sorry. It's hard to do, but you have to try. So, I was walking, and it's funny how you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. You have no idea. You don't know what kind of day they're having. You don't know anything. And so I was in Target, standing in line for some medication I had to pick up. And so this woman was buying something, and so I stood behind her. And Colleen, she's pretty smart. She kind of surveyed the whole situation. And she goes, well, isn't that the line? And there's two people standing over there, and I looked up at the sign, and I said, no, it's drop-off. I'm here to pick up. And I saw pickup sign, which is where I was, and the lady was in front of me. So I should have kind of picked up. It feels like a Dane Cook story, but I should have picked up on this big gentleman. Look, I ain't no Tiny Tina, but this guy was big, tall, and around. He was big. So, and so I imagine, and he kind of looked at me and goes, oh, we're kind of the same, you know. Anyway, so, and a side note, it is funny how you can look at yourself in the mirror and you think, if you're like stocky, that you're not that big, and then you turn to the side and you realize, you know, you have put on a few pounds. Anyway, it's funny how you use a mirror or things that you don't realize how big you are until you step on the scale. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. So the woman said, I'm going to help him, according to me. And the guy in the drop-off line said, I was here before him. And he kind of had this attitude, and I'm like, all right. He, for the most part, I don't make a big stink about lines. I don't know. Overall. And probably tonight I will. So, here goes. But, so, she ran over to help him. And I go, I shouldn't have said anything, but all I said was, wow. And in my passive aggressiveness, I didn't look at his eyes, but I could tell out of my peripheral that he was trying to meet my glance and start a stare war, you know. And, you know, at first, I was like, say something, please say something, please say something. Because I was like, I couldn't believe the guy was acting so upset. I couldn't believe it. It was so funny. Because I wanted to say something funny. But if the guy took a swing at me, it would not have been pretty. I got a real long fuse. But once it's gone, boy. I've never had to go there because of my size. I got shoulders like the Golden Gate Bridge. They're huge. And I'd hate to get hit by me. But anyway, that's one best thing about my grandfather's body size. The frame that he gave me. I'm massive. Anyway. So, but this guy was just so mad. You know, and he kept trying to look at me like, just look over here. Just look over here. And I'm like, nah, I ain't going to play a game. I ain't looking over there. So I'm like looking up, looking over. And then I started to feel bad. Because the lady behind the counter said, your mother called. And she said, your mother called from the DMV, but I'm going, you know what? Maybe the guy is here to pick up stuff for his sick mom. The guy looked like he was Hispanic. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. Maybe his mom's sick and he's here to help her out. So, then I go, you know. And so then there are these two other guys way down beyond a large gentleman. And they were waiting in line too. And so she goes, basically, who should I help? And I go, them down there. And heck, at that point I wanted to help everybody in front of me that could be anywhere near in front of me, because the big guy was still having trouble with his order for his mom, you know. But I just, people get so upset, and I don't want to add to it, you know. I'm a pretty even keel guy, but man, I gotta realize that other people got problems, bigger problems than me. So anyway, and then we went to Costco, and then we let a person go ahead of us in line. So it's just funny, we're trying to make up for it. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.